ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Well, thank you. Good morning, church. Good morning, everyone. Wherever you're watching us from, or good evening, or it's in the middle of the night, wherever you are, we'd like to welcome you to our service today. This is Lighthouse Lagos, Nigeria, and we are grateful to God that you are able to join in our service today. Today, we have a very interesting message that every one of us should be interested in. The human body is filled with wonders. As we are seated here this morning or wherever you are, there are awesome details going on in your body. Billions of chemical makes physical interaction. They click, they grind, they divide away in a finely tuned machine called the body. But sometimes when we don't used our body, diseases try to invade it. And sometimes those chemical reactions, billions of chemicals that works for our good, may begin to work contrary to the growth and the development of our body. So this morning, we're just talking about health. We call it supernatural health because I know that God has, I will read some couple of scriptures to us later on, the way God designed our body. And man is essentially a spirit being. He possesses a soul and he lives in a body. The body is what helps us to be able to carry out our duties here. And so today, we just discuss. And I like to, with Jesus' joy this morning, I have two consultants. They are MDs, and they will do justice to our message today. It's my honor and it's my pleasure this morning. First, to welcome to the service Dr. Raymond Abiodun Kuti. He's coming by the side. And then closely follow this morning, he wore another cap. You're welcome. Good morning, sir. He wore another cap last Sunday, and I've jokingly been telling him that I want to be seeing his face every Sunday. It's Dr. Femi Omololu. He's coming right into the where we call this studio for now, but he's coming right into the church building this morning. You're welcome, Doctor. Thank you for gracing this service this morning. You want to just, first of all, just greet our people at home or wherever they are watching from.
Hello, good morning. My name is Raymond Abiodun Kuti, and I believe we'll have an interesting and interactive session today.
Yeah, and Doctor you. Again this morning, Dr. Femi Omololu. I love that. Well, so at the end of the service, we will definitely be able to help us. I want to first read something this morning. Each time I read this passage of scripture, I usually say to myself, what was in God's mind when he created this project called man? And it's just, man is just, I'm not sure we can unravel the subject of man. In Psalm 8, the Bible says that, O Lord our God, I quickly read it. It said, how excellent is your name in all the earth. He said, who has set your glory among the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infant, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. He said, when I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the parts of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the heart. Maybe this morning, where I want us to, because when you look at that, I see God in his awesomeness, in his creativity as a creative being. He created man, and he gave him job description. And he made him just a little lower than himself. Maybe the first thought this morning, Doc, Dr. Femiwe, I have two doctors, two consultants, by the way, in the service, is to tell us, what is it about this man and his body?
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I think we have to go back to creation to look at the issue of God and this our body. Because it says that God made man. He said, let us make man in our own image. So that means God made us like him, to be a bit like him. And he breathed his life into us. So that means there's a bit of God in us. We are like God. We are godly beings. And the God we know is a perfect God. You know, God is perfect. He's a supernatural being. Granted, we are physical beings. We are natural beings. But then if we are made in his image and we have his breath in us, that means there is something special about us and in God's design and his purpose for us. And like he said himself, like it's written in the Bible, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. So that means God had a plan when he was making us. He said he knew us right from inside our mother's womb. So we did not just happen by accident. It wasn't due to boom, you know. It is design. There's a design there, and there's a craft. There's a craft there, which is revealed to us part time, every day.
So, Doc, I want you to please
I should just add, probably I should be practical in this sense. Yeah. Let's take an organ, the heart. Mm. From the fourth week, even before the woman herself knows that she's pregnant, the heart starts beating. And it works 24 hours, 7 days a week. And it does that till the baby is born, where you are sleeping. And I believe that God created the organs of the body like that. The heart will beat until the last moment you are dead. Yeah. I'm talking of an organ beating from the fourth week to probably the age of 80. Continuously, 24/7. That means God is awesome. Yep. And that's like any other organs in the body. Our kidneys, they function from when the baby is about 14 weeks, walking, till we die. And I think it's our lifestyle, one way or the other, that has been affecting these organs not to walk the way God has created them. Mm-hmm. So I believe that is where the supernatural health comes in. Yeah. The body organs and the body itself, they've been created to work perfectly from the beginning. Yeah. And of course, if we tamper with any of them by the way we live, then we start having problems with them.
Okay. Yeah. I in knowing that I'm coming to be in a service with consultants, so I had, I had to study overnight. Let me just read, because I what you just said now, that we are perfectly created. All the organs. Let me just read out for the purpose of those who have forgotten their biology class. Our brain, a gelatinous pink ball, which performs some impressive tricks. 80% water, but is like a supercomputer that can store 100 of terabytes of data with nothing to sneeze about. The neurons there are responsible for all the processing power that have been clocked or firing at least maybe 120 kilometers per second. That's how the rate at which our brain can work. Our heart, it does what doctor said earlier on, an endless pumping. It creates enough pressure to shoot blood at an impressive 30 feet if the system is invaded by, say, a 200-foot steel blade. Our liver, it keeps all the toxins we take so that the fruit from overloading our system, about 500 other functions, that's what the liver perform. It's like an industrious little bugger taking care of everything from bile production to regulating blood level, amino acid, and all the necessary acids and all that. So we live in a world that we are faced with stress every day. If we read the Bible, people die, I mean, live as much as 938 years. I know, even though the Bible, Moses made the prescription 70 years by reason of strength, but still not many people are living that way. What can you say is responsible in the way we live right now?
Well, it's been the same old story right from then till now. Yeah. I mean, God made us perfect, and he wanted us to have life and live it abundantly. But then after the fall, different things now became susceptible to different things. And the way we live our lives, you understand, is also very important. Because the way you go about your daily, maintaining your health depends on the way you live your life. And you have to live your life, you know, fully and abundantly for you to live long. You must be free from stress, free from disease, free from external things which could affect the body. As we are, there are so many things that are happening to us internally, like you said, Pastor. In fact, as you are talking, I could imagine, I could remember when I was in medical school learning about the human body and how it works and how perfectly it is made. You know, when we study things like immunology, the ways our bodies are made to fight diseases, you know, soldiers. That's where they described it to us in immunology class, that they are soldiers that are formed to recognize foreign bodies, and then they deal with them, and then, you know, they go and they are somehow stored for memory. Then when that infection comes again, the body remembers, and then it now goes and, you know, deals with it. So it's what we're exposed to as some of the things that affect us. And if you look at the definition of health, it says health is the absence of illness or injury. So to maintain that health, the way you live, what causes injury? Reckless lifestyle, where you're not in control of your body, you're not in control of your thoughts, then that's what could come and affect your life and affect your body. Illnesses, like I've said, external influences, diseases, parasites. You know, we know we are facing one now. So when those ones come into the body, there's a way they affect the body negatively, and they could overwhelm the body while the body is trying to re-engineer a defense towards these things. So these are some of the things that have affected us. Talking about a definition, I think WHO actually defined that health as a state of physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So that means we also have to look at our social life, how we interact, our mental health, very important in this era that we are living in. So once those things are not well taken care of, then our body starts to die slowly, you know, until it eventually gives up.
Yeah. Talking about the current issues in our hands, Doc, I need you to talk about it. I mean, I know that by virtue of where both of you are seated, you see cases every day. What is really happening. How can we help people?
Concerning which part?
Where, maybe the current issue, because Doctor mentioned the current issue. What advice will you give to people generally?
The COVID.
Yeah, the COVID.
COVID pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that seems to set fear in people's heart at the moment. And I read somewhere this week, just a minute, sir, that whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever our mind is exposed to, have the tendency to actually affect our mental wellness or physical wellness sometimes.
Yeah, probably I should just probably talk about statistics first.
Okay.
COVID in April. NCDC said we had 462. As of yesterday, they've quoted over 17,000. Yeah. So within 2-3 months, the jump is very high. So based on, and that is still based on, I believe, under testing. I don't think we are testing adequately enough.
Yeah.
The level of contamination in the society is quite high. Mm. So definitely, based on that alone, COVID is real.
Yeah.
It is definitely real. Yeah. Let us use Lagos State as an example. Assuming we are 20 million. The level of contamination in Lagos State, they said, is 20%. That means at least 4 million people are exposed to that disease. That is 1 in 5 people. And they said the mortality rate is about 2%. Ideally, based on that, we are expecting close to 80,000 people to have died from COVID. And that is still under testing. But definitely, the COVID is out there. The level of contamination is very high there. Mm. But the unfortunate thing, from my own perspective, is, like you rightly said, there's nowhere you turn to now. That's what you hear about. Mm. Globally, COVID has killed probably 500,000 people globally from November till now, 7 months. Globally, malaria kills 500,000 people every month.
Every month?
Yes. Pastor Ayo, in 10 days, poverty kills 500,000 people.
Yeah,
globally.
I agree with you.
But unfortunately, there's not much noise about that.
Because it's not global.
Exactly. Lassa fever has killed more people in Nigeria than COVID.
Yeah.
But yes, we are bombarded. All of us have been bombarded by COVID now.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the fear is there.
Yeah.
But the good news is this. Like I said, we expect 80,000 people to have died in Lagos.
Mm.
But less than 150 people have died.
Yeah.
So, in as much as the societal contamination is very high, we thank God that the level of mortality, the level of death, is not as expected.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that does not mean...
COVID is not real.
COVID is not real.
Yeah.
That does not mean COVID is not real. And to Baba Lumo, I'm not
sorry. Wow. What can people do? I know we cannot be over careful, and I know we can't get to that point. Generally, I mean, with what doctor said, diseases are real, and the way God created human bodies, like you said earlier on, there are soldiers that fight. We call it the immune system. Is that right? Okay. So this, what can people do? I know the environment, we're exposed to so many things, especially in the city that you and I live. The hygiene level is relatively, in some part, is low. So what can people generally do to help themselves at this time, instead of just giving in to fear?
Well, we have to do what God has always told us to do and the way we've always lived. The first thing is to understand, you know, any disease. Like, the thing about COVID and the big deal about the coronavirus infection is that it's new. And when something is new, you want to understand it. How does it spread? What effects does it have? Dr. Kuti has given us the statistics. And what made the anxiety over COVID was the number of deaths. When you hear 100, 200 people are dying per day, like we saw in China, Italy, and you know, like we are seeing in the US, it creates a lot of anxiety and it creates a lot of tension. But thankfully, over time, we've gotten to understand the disease a bit more. It's no longer that new and mysterious thing like it was, you know, some 6 months ago. So what do we do? First of all, you have to prevent yourself from getting the infection. That's just the first and the most important thing. And we have learned and we have been told that by wearing face masks, by washing our hands, by creating physical distancing, we can prevent the infection from going from one place to another. And this is not the first pandemic man is going to face. And the way pandemics end is that, like, after a while, they find nobody to infect again. So once we can adhere to those things whereby it's not spreading, then it dies off. Because like we also know, a lot of people who are infected, because like Dr. Kuti said, just 2% are actually dying among people who have the disease. And not all of them, in fact, 97%, at least from the statistics that are presented in Lagos, have mild to moderate disease, which means that, yes, they feel ill, just like malaria, just like an upper respiratory tract infection, and they recover. So that means that it does whatever it wants to do within those bodies, and it can't do anymore. And once it dies out within those bodies, it cannot move to another body. So that's where physical distancing is important, or social distancing, as we call it. And the second thing is that, like, very important. When we talk of health, we have to look at it not just in terms of physical. There's the social, there's the mental.
Yeah.
You have to guard yourself against the effect of the disease. The effects of COVID mainly have to do with, psychologically, and of course, probably economically as well, because those are things that affect people mentally. So we have to guard ourselves against that. We have to look for what is it we can do to maintain our economic status. What can we do to maintain our mental health? Avoid information overload. The information overload, I think, is one of the biggest challenges of this pandemic, because you read so many things. Even as a doctor, at the point I got confused, so I had to cut off some certain sources and have some specific sources of information, because now everybody is a doctor. The presenter on CNN is a doctor. The presenter on radio is a doctor.
Even the pastor is a doctor.
Pastors have always been doctors. So you're getting so much information, you're not knowing what to believe or what to follow. So you have to restrict yourself to specific sources which are reliable, and then stick to that. And then, of course, the last thing you have to do is to look up to God. That's the way I see it. Because we say supernatural health. Supernatural means something that is attributed to a force which is non-scientific and cannot be explained by normal science and everything. And we know that there is supernatural healing, there is supernatural protection. So we should seek that from God. Through prayer, through fellowship with other people, studying of the world, and building ourselves up spiritually. So if we can prevent the disease, deal with the effects of the disease, and seek supernatural help for the disease, I believe we'll be fine.
Okay, I'd like to read something out. If we can read the whole of Psalm 139, it's also another scripture that explains how God created man. But I would like to just speak verse 13. He said, "For you have created my inmost being." So you knit me together in my mother's womb. Said, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He said, "Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the heart." He said, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I know that a whole lot, based on what you've said so far, is there any conflict between medicine and faith? I know it's a controversial question. I said I was going to bring it up. I just won't need to bring it up. Is there any conflict from your own opinions?
Well, I don't think there's any conflict. I think it is a man-made thing. Like I said earlier, we have a bit of God in us, and God is all-knowing. And one thing I realized that God reveals things to us part-time. He reveals things to us part-time. I remember one sermon that my father gave once, and he said something in that sermon that everything that we are enjoying today, everything that has been created and has been designed, has always been here on earth. We have not really created something new. The raw materials have always been here. It's just that with time we find out how to extract it and how to use it. The microchip we are using to enjoy computers and all that, it's always been there. It was there since the time of Adam, the time of Abraham. So why were there no computers then? Part time, things are being revealed. And so it is with health and their medicine, if I can put it that way. So many times at the consulting table, you are telling a woman and trying to prescribe a medical prescription to her, especially when it comes to things like surgery. And then you hear things like, "Ah, I reject it in Jesus' name." I say, "Madam, I'm not from the devil. I'm not from the devil. I'm working with God as well. I'm also a Christian. I also believe in the same Jesus we are talking about." And so that God has given us things per time. He reveals things to us per time. Just to give a biblical perspective to it, especially from my field of obstetrics and gynecology, there was a time, I think it's somewhere in 2 Chronicles, when Sennacherib and his army were coming to face Israel. Mighty army, they had conquered Assyria, they had conquered Egypt, they had conquered all those places. And that mighty army now faced small Israel. And what Hezekiah said, "Ah, we are in trouble. like a woman who is about to deliver but cannot bring forth. And why did he say that? In those days, there was nothing like cesarean section. So once a woman had obstructed labor, it's like they literally just watched her die. The midwife would have seen, this thing can't come home. Everybody start to pray, start to look, and the man there, because we still see it today, because some people refuse, you know, those things. But now, you can't use that as an example for imminent death, because a baby woman is about to birth but cannot bring forth. We can't do cesarean section. God has given us knowledge to do that. So we do that. So, and another very beautiful example of the conflict. In the time of Jesus, medicine existed. Yeah. Doctors were there. Luke was a doctor. Yeah, Luke. Jairus' daughter. Yeah. All the best doctors had come to see her. I think that's the best way to look at faith and medicine. Yeah, supernatural and natural. Yeah. They had come. They had tried their best, but they couldn't heal her. And Jairus knew he had to go for something extra. And that's when he looked to, you know, to Jesus. And Jesus came and now applied the supernatural touch. You understand? And he said, you know, so many examples. I said, never in Israel haven't seen faith like this. You know, so that's where the supernatural comes in. Yeah. I keep saying that many of the miracles that Jesus did were for things that had no cure. Wow. Because if there was a cure for blindness, for being lame, for leprosy, wow, if you look at the things that Jesus did, wow, wouldn't have been super.
Wow.
They don't have any big deal about it. Like, the doctors are doing it too. So what are you saying this man is doing? You understand? But because they were for things for which man himself had no answer.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, and that's why I say God reserves some of his miracles for great things. He has given us knowledge. If you want to apply your faith, it's good. It's good to apply your faith. You understand? But God has given us paracetamol for headache. If you want to use prayer to take care of headache, fine. Because God may want to use that one to show it to you. But God has also given you paracetamol. So you can also cure that headache. But maybe the cause of the headache is what you should be looking at and not the headache itself.
That's what I wanted to say. That I've always believed that faith is not in any way in conflict with medicine. I believe that God created or gave men the knowledge of medicine, just like the knowledge of other inventions. But I think I need to ask that question because we must separate faith from foolishness. You mentioned something as where is headache is not little, but as little as headache, which is likely stress induced. So it means laws that regards the keeping of our body has been broken. So at that point in time, we should know that it is headache. Even whatever you are using faith for. But in instances now, you find people who says, just like you said, I reject this, I reject that. So I ask, for example, somebody say, agree with me concerning my head. I ask the basic question. What is the point of agreement? I have this. But some people have not even done tests. I said, go and do the test. Let us know what we are believing for. I want you to please talk about that, about the fact that medicine is not in conflict. I love doctor's perspective that most of the things Jesus had to do supernaturally were diseases that had no cure.
Yeah, I agree totally with doctor and with you.
Yeah.
I usually say an average doctor, by the time you've seen things happening with patients, an average doctor will become a believer, irrespective of anything. I can tell you, I've seen miracles. I have told patients, forget about. Okay, let me give an example. He's a gynecologist. There was this baby, about 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years. The boy is 10 now. 1.3 kg. They had to remove the baby. Doctor, 10 years ago, bringing a 1.3 kg baby. I told the mother, I thought I was God, that I don't think much about this. But your doctors will be the one to tell you the outcome. But the outcome is very, very grim. But the 1.3 baby came out, he's 10 now. Very, very fantastic boy. So if you see miracles, you'll be a believer. But I usually also believe that, any person that believes, there's conflict between faith and medicine, is confused. Mm. Yes. The woman with the issue of blood, he has tried all the doctors.
Wow.
And of course, just like the doctor said, he had no problem but to come to Jesus. But we know now person having heavy bleeding. There can be 1,001 causes. Mm-hmm. And once you know the cause, you can treat. Wow. The doctors then did not know.
Well, we don't have to do prayer and fasting.
Exactly. The doctors during Jesus' time, I mean, they did not have all the technology we have now to know why a woman is bleeding heavily.
Wow.
But now we do. An average doctor can say, oh, this one with medication will sort it out. Oh, this one, probably surgery will sort it out.
Yeah.
But like I said, an average a Christian that believes, oh, faith will handle everything, is confused.
Yeah.
I believe, let's know what the problem is.
Yeah.
Let's know the limitation of medical practice.
Yeah.
And then we can say, okay, let's move on with faith.
I think I need to clarify. I don't know who is watching or who is listening to us today. There are people don't agree with blood transfusion. All these things are the reality. There are people who would rather use, I have issues with all those herbs, all those, we call them in local parlance, they are agbo, because something that does not have, that doesn't have like prescription, like dosage, I think it may be injurious to the organs in our body. So I want you to still talk about this. Blood transfusion is one. CS is another one. What are the other ones that people...
Is that herbs?
Yes, herbs. Yeah.
Well, concerning blood transfusion, I mean, I'm not a pastor. I'm a Christian.
Well, you're wearing the cap of one this morning.
But I usually say, look at it. And in the Bible, we have the scriptural things and we have the cultural things. Mm. And the part where we're talking about blood being the, we all know, yes, life is in the blood. Mm. Every year, and every surgeon knows that. Touching blood, that it gives you this funny power. I'm sorry to use that word power, while you're operating. Mm. And there's power in the, there's life in the blood. Mm. But we also know scientifically that the blood is generated every 33 months. Your red blood cells, they get destroyed every 33 months.
Wow.
So I tell people, look, I donate blood every 33 months. That helps your blood marrow to give you better blood samples. And there's religion, there's Christianity. Many of us will play religion. Yeah. And I tell everybody that the part of the Bible I love that Jesus said, what is not what goes into you that matters, but what comes out of you, from your mind. Mm. So probably, is it blood, is it food, is it drink? That will not make you a less Christian. Mm. What makes you a real Christian is what is in your mind. Mm. What has been planted in your soul and what comes out of your heart to other people. And he says it's love. And I've seen people say, no, I will not take blood. And they survive. And I've seen people that say, no, I'll not take blood. And they die. I'll give an interesting case. Many years back, a patient had ectopic pregnancy. Ectopic pregnancy is a pregnancy outside the womb there. If it ruptures, it's like, a blood rupture. That person can bleed to death immediately. And there was this couple with their pastor, and they said they would pray that the pregnancy will come back to the womb. And I'm a Christian, I'm a doctor. They were praying there in front of my office. And it got to a stage, I had to call the couple in. I said, Pastor, please, if you don't mind, I just want to speak with these two people. And I told them that, look, if anything happens to this woman, if what I pray should not happen, happens, if that ectopic pregnancy ruptures, this woman will die. Please, let the pastor continue to pray the church. If your faith can handle it, fantastic. But let your doctor do what he should have done. And I think that's where I have issues with faith and medicine.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I've seen people who tell you, yes, my faith can handle Dr. Kuti. And it happens. But there are some emergencies that, I'm sorry, faith may not handle. And it can be disastrous.
Okay. Let's look at, I know that you talk to people on a regular basis. You advise them on their health. Now, the way we have, generally, there is stress in the world. I mean, it's written. I myself, we go through it. Traffic, fumes from cars. water that is polluted that runs through the pipes and all that. There are things that are peculiar to human beings. I'm interested in long life because the Bible says so. We said with long life it will satisfy us and show us his salvation. I'm interested in living long and living well because there are two different things. So what can we do? Because I think it's better. Now you hear people 20, 40s. There are things that are there, cardiac arrest and all that. So what can people do? I just want you to please talk to people how to manage their health in such a time as we live, just generally. And maybe the common diseases that you have, you started seeing as cases, and that need not be, that people can just be proactive.
Well, the thing there is about having life and living well. And there are some things that are within your control, and there are some things that are not within your control. The things, just because of what you said now, that's what brought that to my mind. Because you talked about water in the pipes, pollution in the air, and these are things which could actually be injurious to the body. And some of these things are beyond our control. That's why we have to look at the world we have created. I mean, that we have, what we have turned the world to be, because it's not the world God created. I mean, if you remember, they said when the pandemic started and many organizations were shut down, the air became cleaner. The rate of global warming and all that reduced. So it shows how we have actually polluted the earth and how we are making it dangerous to ourselves and our bodies. You talked about traffic and the stress we go through in traffic. And you look at it, that what is our mindset in that traffic? Why are we going through stress in traffic? Because sometimes it's just because of the way we drive. You know, we are creating problems for ourselves. So we need, number one, for our leaders, our government, to actually be more looking at making things more wholesome for us, more creating a better environment, creating a better intersocial relationship for us. You understand, the way we live, law and order. That will help to reduce some of the stress. Like if you look at in some developed countries now, I think some of their problems there, a lot of their problems too are man-made, but not in terms of some basic things. Maybe in terms of social things, use of drugs, you know, alcohol, seeking the good life, and blah, blah, blah. You understand? But we are still dealing with some basic things here, which if we just apply the golden rule, what God said, love your neighbor as yourself, then we can get a lot of these things right. So that's one perspective. The second perspective is looking at what you can control. I think what we are looking for in life are three basic things. We are looking for peace, we are looking for purpose, and we are looking for immortality. Okay? But we tend to misconstrue some of these things. When we talk of peace, what we are looking for is pleasure. When we talk of purpose, what many of us are terming it to be is money and wealth. And when we are looking for immortality, what some of us are looking for is perfection. You know, but, and it's difficult finding these things. Because who dictates it for you? Does the world dictate it for you? Or does God dictate it for you? So when the world is dictating it for you, that's when you are looking for pleasure, you are looking for wealth, you are looking for perfection, the perfect life, according to what man has said it is. So you are just running, and you are absorbing all the stresses and all the challenges that come with it. Not as if all these things are bad. There's a place to it, and there's a level to which we want to have it. And indeed, God wants us to have some of those things. But you see, when you are working it under God's prescription, when you are looking for peace, when you have God in you and you find kind of peace that God wants to give you, then you can enjoy some of the pleasures of this world with peace of mind. You can watch Arsenal and have peace. Enjoy it and have peace.
I was waiting always, for you that you haven't that. Talked about football today.
It must always come up, sir. Because that's where pleasure. No, we're talking about pleasure. You know, so you know it's not the end of the world. Football is just something to be enjoyed. It's not something that is bigger than what it
running
is.
After leather field, you know? Yeah.
So you can find peace because you can see where it exists in the place of God's creation. I always say that, like, even talking about football, I always say God himself sits down to watch a game when people are praying. No, he has given us skills. No, I'm going somewhere. He has given us skills because God has given us ability and he wants to see how we can use them. So that's it. It's
and
not,
the one displayed by Mercy.
Yes, and all that. You know? So that's that. So looking at the pleasures, you know what pleasures to go after. You know what pleasures are wrong and are injurious to your body.
Yeah.
Excessive drinking, smoking, drugs. You know, then you know that like that is not your prescription, and you don't go by that. So that's where you are beginning to have a healthy life.
Yeah.
The second thing, purpose. Is your purpose to have money? Is it to be wealthy? Fine. It's good to have wealth. It's good to chase after it. But you have to know how you go after it. Are you going to do things that are going to harm other people or destroy other lives in your quest to get that wealth? Is that your purpose? And when you do get it, what are you going to do with it? Build house upon house upon house? Somebody said Dangote is still looking for money. If that is true, then Dangote has missed it. Well, I don't think Dangote is actually, when you look at what he's doing, because you can see that he's actually trying to, he has now moved into trying to develop, you know, society. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, all those people that have money. After a while, he said they turn back from, it's now about helping people. That's where purpose is, because the purpose for everybody is to help every other person.
Yeah.
If you have 100 naira and you give somebody 10 naira, you feel fulfilled. So your purpose is to help others in any way you can. That's where you can now have life. And that affects your mind. It affects your mind too, and it affects your body when you are looking to help other people.
Yeah.
And then in terms of seeking perfection, we all want to be perfect, again, according to man's prescription. You know, be the best person, you know, especially in this social media era where everybody is get 1 million likes and all that. And but if you have God's prescription for it, you know that like perfection in this world is a bit is futile. It's almost futile. And you have the promise for a perfect life after. And when you are working towards that, then you can find, you know, you find that peace and that you know what you are looking for. So for us to live healthy lives today, the ones that are under our control, I think we need to look for God's prescription for it.
Yeah.
Let's not just be moved by the world and what it pushes and, you know, how it pushes us. We have to look at what God is saying and learn to live healthy and seek knowledge. Knowledge is always very important, because when we have knowledge, we can do things, you know, we are empowered. We are empowered when we have knowledge. You know, like Dr. Kuti was saying about the blood transfusion and, you know, people with their faith. And then, so you have to seek knowledge. I say, if Jesus came today, he's not going to ride a horse. He's going to drive a car.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
Lexus G.
Lexus, no, not Lexus G.
Or G1.
No, Jesus is modest. You know, so it's not, so we must, you know, we must apply reason. And so just to go back to that issue of faith and medicine, we must always look at the Bible in terms of history, because it is what was revealed to them at that time. And like I said about God revealing things to us by time, some people want to build a tower to reach heaven, but now we have reached the moon. So per time, so we cannot just take things from the Bible and just transpose it them to this time. We must appreciate that God has given us things to use for this time, and he has developed us.
Yeah.
So we must always look at God's recipe. What is he doing per time? And it's through a good relationship with him we can understand. And of course, rubbing minds with people who can develop us. So I think those are the ways we can live healthy.
Doctor, I want to thank you, Dr. Femi Omololu. I want to come to you. There are social issues at the moment. So maintaining supernatural health in our own challenging environment is actually a challenge to many people. So I want you to talk about mental wellness. A lot of people, for one, maybe lack of fulfillment, like what doctor said about purpose, about the real immortality and all that. So people are beginning to resort from what we can see or what we can hear or what we can understand. They are resorting to alternative means of achieving those things. So some people have turned to weed, some to hard drugs, some to whatever form of indulgence. And it has affected people's mental wellness. And a whole lot is happening in our society, which is becoming a social issue for us. How can we just help people out there?
Well, there's a part of that Bible that says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. And I tell people that that's a very fantastic word that Jesus said. Until you are the gate man to your heart, to your mind, then you can fall for anything. And of course, the part of the Bible that says godliness with contentment is a great gain.
Yeah.
Those are the two things we are having issues with. No doubt about it, many people are under stress, are mentally challenged. And it is just due to the situation we have created. Not God has created. We have created for ourselves, like doctor said. Normally, okay, medically, the part of it that gives us stress. Stress is good occasionally, but it's when there is too much that we get into problem. Normally, in what you call the flight or fright situation, you see, a lion comes in now, the first thing is you must escape. It produces something in your brain that produces cortisol, which is just for a short period of time, milliseconds, to give you all the energy you will need at that point
to survive. Yeah.
But now when you now get to a situation in that thing is continuously pumped into your system. It's telling all the organs to be acting and overreacting. And of course, they get tired. They are not created by God to do that job. They get tired. And of course, for you to maintain it, because of the stress is now, you've seen it normal. Okay, let's give an example, the traffic. You are staying in the traffic for 2 hours. Everything is in your head that yellow bus should not do this, that Okada driver. You are under stress going to work. So you are mentally tired. And then you get to work, you have to meet, what do they call it now? The target. The body, sooner than later, will start getting tired. And unfortunately, people resolve to many things to keep it at that level. And I can assure you, it is really bad. And unfortunately, it's among the youngsters. And the question is, what is the way forward? Doctor has answered it. You must know the purpose. You must know why you want some things. Not because what the society dictates. And that's where the word, your contentment. Some people will say, until I drive Bentley or Rolls Royce, I am not okay. Yeah. Whereas, from other people, look, with my Toyota Corolla, I'm the king of the road. And some people will say, until I have this car, that car, this, achieve this, and achieve. It's good to have goals. But you must know your real self and your ideal self. And I was listening to a doctor on one of the TED Talks. And he said, by 33, 34, she had achieved all what she wanted to achieve as a doctor. She had 3 houses, she had cars, and she was not still happy. And he just realized that, she has been wearing masks all her life. This is what the society expects of me. And I must, now I have shown the society what is expected of me. And she said, that was the time that what meaning to her. Guard your heart with all diligence. I just crossed her mind that, I am living my life for the society, not the way I wanted to live it. She said she resigned as a doctor. Left for about 36 months to go and rediscover herself. She became an artist. She never knew she was that good to be an artist, to draw. And then she said she went for a study and then did a study of what she called neuroimmunology, in which you can recondition your brain to handle your body the way you want it to do. And that's what she does now. And she says she has come to the fact that, and doctors have, scientists have agreed with that, you can recondition your brain to control your body. And that is the way I think, instead of people using drugs or any of these mental stimulants to do it, they can sit down, reevaluate what are important to them in life. Like I said, know your real self, not the ideal self. The ideal self is what the society expects of you and you want to portray to the society. Your real self is what makes you happy, irrespective of what anybody says. Until you get to that level to be happy with your real self, the drug issue will be, and I'll be sincere with you, sir, it is bad out there.
Yeah.
Extremely bad.
Yeah. I think, Doctor, generally, I mean, time is of essence to us each time we have to do this. Just, I want you to speak generally to people how to maintain their health as we close, and then your final thoughts on our topic for today. The fact that we've gone through it, God created our body, our bodies, and then there are organs, I understand 11 major organs, for example, that needs to function in coordination to give us perfect health. And if anything try to invade, God has also put in us an immune systems to fight soldiers, like you said. So how do we, and we've talked about all the various things that has become challenging to us, but we need to live, and we need to live healthy. We need to live with long life. I mean, these days, sometimes it feels like you see someone in the morning, and by afternoon or evening, you hear the news that they are no more. And so you just ask yourself, what exactly? And it's just in all this race for this, to achieve this, race for... So just your final thoughts today.
Like I said, we're searching for peace. And we must, the scripture Dr. Kuti brought about guarding our hearts. It's easy maybe for us because we have met Christ and we know the word. We have guidance. Some people don't have guidance, and that's where the big challenge comes from. Like Dr. Kuti said, the world is pushing them. You know, so we need to know who we are. Know your body. You understand? Generally speaking, for those of us that know, what is your medical history? Are there any family or life, family things or, you know, traits in your body that you need to, illnesses in your family you need to, you know about and guard against? You understand? When last did you have a health check? Especially for those of us, for those who are, you know, advancing, once you are 40 and above, you need to start having health checks, you know, to know what your body is. What do you eat? What do you eat? Are you overeating? Give me brokoto, give me shaki, give me everything, and that's gluttony. You have to watch your body, watch what goes into your body. What do you eat? Do you have an exercise mindset? Like we are all knowing now, exercise is good for the body. So we have to exercise, physical exercise. It helps to deal with stress. Somebody says stress is not even what happens to us. It is how we react to what happens to us. So how do you safeguard your mind? Personally, for me now, traffic is not a problem. Once I'm in traffic, thankfully, I have a car that has air condition, and I have good music. I envelop myself and distract myself from the world so that I don't, stress myself. In the morning, like Dr. Kuti talked about stress, but I remember I stopped listening to newspaper reports in the morning because you're inside traffic. That one is trying to give you stress. If you put on the radio and listen to newspaper reports, where most of the news that is coming there is bad, yeah, you start to get more agitated. And when I stopped doing it, I noticed I became calmer. The yellow bus driver that is doing, I just ignore him. You create your own world, and you want to enter my front, enter. I'm not going to start struggling with you for road. So you have to guard yourself. And it's simple. It comes from the simple things. It comes from the simple things. When you look at... God's mercy upon us is just great. There's something I said that God has put a sense of everybody, a sense of Him in everybody. Mm. We all have a sense of God in us. There's something I say, "Bukun yon loma mo lorun," but "kolo ma jekuba jeju kenyon to mo." Because when you are young and you are impressionable, you will do some certain things, which may end up causing some lifetime damage to your body. But if you get to meet God earlier and you start to live your life earlier, then you are protected from some of those things because you've gotten the right prescription. Because God's prescription comes through His word. Yeah. And of course, His grace is there, which is what used to guard a lot of us before we got to know Him. But the earlier we do, then the better we can be on track, especially for the young people. Because if they get that earlier, going into drugs and things like that, you know, may be prevented. Because they see it as a big no-no. Their friends are doing, no, I'm not even going to dabble into it. So we just need to know ourselves, know our bodies, check our bodies, safeguard ourselves. Don't let the world dictate it for us.
Yeah.
And with that, I believe we can live long, healthy, and fulfilling lives.
Yeah. I think I'm coming to Dr. Just your wrap-up talk. But I'm sure that you've been wondering, why did we tag this service Supernatural Head? At least you can see it now. Our bodies are designed by God. And there are laws and principles that guide the maintenance of this body. And each time we break such laws and principles, we suffer for it. The word disease, it simply means something that robs us of our ease. So if I have issues with my lung, it will rob me of my ease. If I have issues with my heart, it will rob me of my of the heart pumping blood. So this morning, I believe that we've been blessed. I believe that we are taking this to heart. Doctor, your wrap-up thoughts for today.
Well, I believe Doctor has said it all. I just believe the way we live our life, we should rest well, we should eat well, then we should relax well. Sleeping, let me quickly just say that. At least you should have enough sleep. There's a difference between resting and sleeping. Many people sleep, they do not rest. So try as much as possible to rest. And then, of course, our lifestyle, which is the eating part of it. Like in Japan, they live an average lifespan of Japan is about 85. In Italy, it's about 82. In this country, I think we've improved to 52. And I usually study those people. Their lifestyle is cultural. And I think that's where we should be. And like a friend of mine will say that, look, we have a lot of, it's the disease that kills people. Most of the vagrant mad people we have in Lagos should have died. And they are not yet dead. And those of us that we believe we are living well, die before them. So we should look inwards and see what are we doing wrong. And I think if we look inwards and know the way and what we want, not what the society wants for us or what we want to show to the society, I think we'll get off most of the diseases we are talking about.
So I read in closing today, Proverbs chapter 4. Our two doctors have mentioned it, they made reference to it in the course of the service. I read from verse 20 all through to the end. If you want to live supernaturally, if you want your health to be supernatural, look at what the Bible says. Message translation from verse 20, it said, "Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover this word will live, and they will really live. Body and soul, they will burst with health. Keep vigilant over your heart, and that's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your steps, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust." I know that the Bible also talks about it, that everyone who wants to live long life should keep their lips or their tongue from speaking evil. Thank you, Dr. Biodun Raymond Biodun Koti and Dr. Femi Omololu for adding flavor to the service today. At this time, I will invite His Fragrance again to sing. There is a song that is coming to my heart. I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and heal all your diseases. And as you sing along with us today, peradventure, because I will ask the two daughters to still pray. So, peradventure, you want us to agree with you in any area. But like they say, if we're agreeing with you, please, tomorrow, if symptoms persist, please see your doctor. But I just want us to believe together today. Father, we say thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Sent to us today by our two medical doctors in this service. Various advices has been given to us. God's design, God's desire is that we live supernaturally in the area of our health. Advices that when we heed and we can live healthy has been given to us. I want you to just go into this with considering the things that have been shared with us today. You can watch this service back and please take note. A lot of the times we don't understand the workings of God. That's the truth. So we leave most of the things that we are supposed to do, we leave it to God. There are things we can do in terms of lifestyle adjustment. It's in our capacity to do that. In terms of what we see, what we hear, what we allow into our bodies, it is our commitment, our personal commitment. So the things we've had today, I want you to please take it to heart. Because he said they are life to those who find them. And they are health to all their flesh. Dr. Kuti, please pray.
Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for everybody listening to and seeing us today. We put everybody's mind and heart into your hand, Father, Lord. Because if you change the heart, Father, Lord, the whole body will be changed. Renew our heart and afresh, Father, Lord. Make everything new, Father, Lord. Our thoughts, let it be afresh from your words, Father, Lord. Give us the grace, Father, Lord, to hear you expressly, Father, Lord. Give us the opportunity to know you better, Father, Lord. Let us know who you are to us, Father, Lord. And for everybody seeking one, for having any one form of ailment or the other, Father, Lord, let your balm of Gilead be the one to heal them. Give them a fresh beginning, Father, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Dr. Femi, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your grace. We give you thanks for your mercy. We give you thanks for your wisdom. We pray, Father, Lord, that we shall continue to seek the wisdom that you have poured out upon us, so that we can continue to enjoy the grace which you have also poured upon us, that our bodies may be made whole, and that our lives may indeed be made whole at the same time. That, Father, Lord, when we live according to your prescription, we shall know that we do not need the prescription of man. That, Father, Lord, for those out there who may not have access to those who can give them the healing that they need, even for whatever little thing it may be, grant them your supernatural healing.
Yes, Lord.
And continue to show us signs of your supernatural healing every day, so we know that you are, Father Lord, we know that those in medicine do their best, but we know that ultimately you are the one who heals, because not everything has been revealed to us. We thank you for your mercy as you continue to reveal things unto us and as you continue to empower us. And we just pray that we'll do our own bit so that, Father Lord, at the end of the day, we shall find that fulfillment which we seek. And indeed, that pleasure from you which comes upon us. Thank you, Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Amen. And so, Lord, we say thank you this morning for our guest today. Thank you for your hand that is upon their lives. Thank you for the capacity to which you are using them to create, Lord, health and healing as a form of value to our society at large. We pray for continued wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for them. And by extension, we pray for all our medical personnel all over the world, Lord, who are working tirelessly each day to bring health and healing to people. Father, we thank you for the yet many discoveries about the field of health and healing. And we thank you because you will reveal yourself to man. There are many diseases that we still need cure. And Lord, even at this season, thank you for revelation of cure concerning lesser fever, concerning malaria, concerning all these other diseases that reoccur in our world. And thank you for opening our eyes of understanding and teaching us how to live. We know that with you, we can learn how to live. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, because you will teach our hearts in the way to go. And we thank you again for all doctors all over the world, nurses, people in the paramedics. And Lord, thank you for your strength that is coming to them even at this time. We bless you, we honor you. Let this week be a week of divine favor for us, a week of open doors for us, a week of access for us. I thank you because lines will continually fall unto us in pleasant places because we have a goodly heritage. We bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,